a Conti, bella palla per Rebic, Rebic Ibra, Rebic, 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 il tiro, goal!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrud.
What's up guys, glad to be back. Happy to be here, and we got Maddie with us as well.
Yeah, another full podcast.
Absolutely.
It becomes a regular thing. I don't know.
I can't remember the last time that we actually had four people, but yeah, it's good. It's good. It's symmetrical on the screen, which I like. And we're delighted to be joined by Chloe Beresford from Calcio e Curva and various other places. Our first ever Fiorentina supporting guest, in my memory anyway. but yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks for having me.
So we'll start with a segment that I like to call Grilla Fiorentina Fan. basically, we do things in a hostile way here. No, on a serious note, there's been a lot of links between our two clubs throughout the transfer market. It's done and dusted now. Nothing ended up getting done. But start off by telling us how we dodged a bullet by not signing Federico Chiesa.
Oh, you absolutely did. Yeah, you really did. I've made my feelings on Chiesa fairly clear on Twitter, and you know a lot of Juve fans are quite cross about it. But when you've watched this young lad for 90 minutes week in week out, you can see that he's clearly got talent. But a lot of the talent that he shows are in flashes, are in short bursts, and those are the kind of clips that you see put on YouTube or put on Twitter in a compilation. And yeah, put together, he does look really good. But in 2018-19, this is what I tweeted, he took 115 shots and scored just 6 goals from those shots. And those... You think, you know, in a game, you only get so many chances to score. And, you know, he's in a season, he's taken 113 of those chances and only converted 6. Well, now that he's gone, those chances will fall to other players who are, you know, going to be better at scoring. And, you absolutely have dodged a bullet, I would say. He's Juve's problem now. they've got to make him come good. It's up to them. He may well develop into a very good player, but at Fiorentina, he didn't have the right attitude, and he thought he was a superstar before he'd actually proved it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a funny one, because I did say in the few weeks leading up to the deadline that I thought if there was a piece that we're missing from our starting 11, it's right winger. And purely looking at stats, I thought Chiesa might do a job for us, because he scored 10 goals last season in the league and got slated. You know, a lot of Fiorentina fans slated his performances, said the same thing as you, that he's selfish, that, you know, his decision-making isn't all there. And I thought, well, if we can get 10 goals out of him for us, I don't really care how he plays. But then, having heard you say that, you know, our right-wing position is so important in terms of, we don't have the most glamorous names there at the moment, but they work hard and they contribute to the balance of the team. I don't know how it's going to work at Juve. I don't know about you two lads, but I think 60 million euros, it's destined to be a flop, surely. Because they're going to play him at right wing back.
Yeah, I mean, that alone is weird that they're going to play him in that position, but I guess it'll work in their system. I said it a few weeks ago that I don't think he is an overrated player. I think he's an overpriced player. I thought the price tag that Comiso was demanding for him was just way too high for what he's produced. And hearing Chloe say that, it just furthers my point, I think. I don't mind the player. I think he, like you said, he might become a fantastic player in the future. But for now, he's just not worth the numbers that were being demanded or that Juve paid. So I'm happy with not getting him, I guess.
Yeah, I had no idea that Juve spent $60 million on him. Props for you guys for getting that much money. And I'm happy that we did not spend that kind of money on him. Especially after seeing your tweets and seeing those stats about his goal conversion rate, that's just horrendous.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, it reminds me of when we had Carlos Bacca in that last season.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
scored like 2 of his 50 shots, and it was bad.
But it's not just the missing, is it? It's the when players are greedy like that, they're taking opportunities mm-hmm. away from mm-hmm. other players. Mm-hmm. And I think if Milan had signed him and he's taking those chances away that perhaps would have otherwise fallen to Hakan or someone like that, you know, it hurts the team. It really does. And I'm fed up of kind of seeing other players not get a chance to thrive at Fiorentina because Chiesa's taking all the shots.
I was about to say Ibra would have just
oh my god, he'd have killed him.
he'd have demanded
him to be subbed off.
Ibra gets mad when players don't pass when he's not clear, when he's like triple covered, he gets mad. So I can only imagine if someone's taking shots that they shouldn't be.
And just to clarify before we get a load of angry comments, I think is it like a paid loan with option to buy, so it's not necessarily a guaranteed 60 mil?
I thought it was obligation to buy.
Or is it an obligation?
What's the difference?
Can't they just be like, I don't want to buy him anymore? Or is that
not with an obligation?
With the option to buy, they can say no. But I think it's pretty nailed on that he will stay there. There are some conditions, but those conditions are fairly easy to meet. So I don't think there's any circumstance in which he's going to end up back at Fiorentina, to be honest.
Especially after he got that send off from some of your fans after doing his medical, called him an idiot. That was good. I like that. And then there was the comments. I've only briefly seen them, so I'm going to have to get them up in case I end up paraphrasing. But was it Camiso who's come out and said, "Yeah, none of us have even received a call from Chiesa, and we don't deserve this. We lost Chiesa, but we have a new Chiesa, which is also the Italian word for church, so it means church in this sense." Here at the Sporting Centre, just like my wife wanted, because you've launched a new academy basically today, is that right?
Yeah, it's apparently going to be one of the best training facilities in Italy. He spent a lot of money on it, and they've got the okay to start work on it, so it's going to be really impressive. And yeah, he's put a lot of his own personal money into it, so that's much more important to Fiorentina and the long-term growth of the club than one individual player.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's good news.
Definitely. I love clubs that are investing in the future like that. I mean, you look at what Atalanta have done just by having a good academy and by able to recruit smartly, young players, bringing them through. Some players have come through as well. Castrovilli, he's a guy that I really like. I really wanted us to sign Gaetano, but he's obviously a boyhood Milan fan as well, so I wouldn't be surprised if some of those rumours came up, if Hakan left or something like that. But
there were rumours today, actually, about that.
Yeah, we're coming on to it because we got a question about it. So okay. Hold your horse.
Never mind, I'll be quiet. Sorry.
Right, in terms of two other names then that were mentioned, one of them was Nikola Milenkovic. Now, it was more like an intense link at the start of the window, faded towards the end when it became apparent you weren't going to let him go for less than 40 million euros, which I think is fair. I think it's totally fair. I think the days of players holding clubs to ransom, saying, "I'm not signing a renewal, I want to leave," I don't really like that. I'm fed up of player power and stuff like that. So I thought it was fair that Camiso said 40 million or he's not going anywhere. What do you think happens with him now? Can you see him still being there this time next summer? Or
It's a tricky one. I can see why there are links in the transfer window between Milan and Fiorentina, because obviously Pioli had such close bond with a lot of those players at Fiorentina. I can see why he wants to carry on working with them. Milenkovic, the Fiorentina sporting director, Daniele Prade, in a press conference, said that he doesn't think that Milenkovic will sign a renewal. And his contract ends in June 2022, so not this summer, next summer. And so it looks like Fiorentina have a decision to make as to whether to insist that he stays until then, or, you know, actually get a fee for him, because obviously he is a player that is worth a lot of money, and for them it would be a bit of a disaster to let him go for free. So I'm sure those links will come up again, whether that be in January or next summer, he's a fantastic player, and he was certainly worth that 40 million price tag, like you say.
I think it's dead obvious why Pioli wanted him so badly, because We were dodgy at right back last season, and we didn't have great centre back depth. And he can address both of those problems. And obviously, as you say, he knows him. I thought that after we sold Paqueta and after we secured Europa League group qualification, that we'd go back in with a bid. And I had a feeling that we'd end up landing him, because he was the guy that Pioli wanted all along. didn't happen. We didn't end up signing any centre-backs. So, like you say, I can imagine the links come back up. I don't know, lads. I'd have paid $40 million, to be honest. If it was there, I'd have paid it because he would have fixed the problems.
Yeah, that was the Hopefully. One player all window that I was saying that's who we need to get above all. Is that's the one we want. So I'm super bummed out it didn't happen. I want him still. So hopefully January we do.
Definitely. I mean, if we are in a good position,
I don't mind
in
paying
the league,
like $30 million in January.
Sorry, Matty, what were you saying?
Go on. If we're in a good position in the league in January, then I don't see any reason why we would not have more investments into the team to try and hold down that place, you know?
Yeah, the hope is that we have a little bit of money left over from the summer because we didn't get a centre-back and it goes on the right purchase, whoever that may be. Yeah, and then the other one was Jermaine Petzela, which I thought was one that kind of went against what our philosophy has been, given that we're tending to sign players under 25, or rather paying a transfer fee for players that are under 25. Obviously, he's 29, is he? Or 30? Great defender. I really like him. Like, I compared his stats against sort of the likes of Romagnoli, Kier, and even Milenkovic, and he comes out on top in quite a lot of the physical stats, and I think that's what we're after, but... I think Prady confirmed that we did make a loan bid on deadline day, which I think is a bit insulting, to be honest, because he was your captain for a while. Is he still your captain?
Yeah, yeah.
Making a loan bid.
Yeah, he's been out injured, so other players have worn the armband, but yeah, he is the captain. So I think that caused a bit of tension in the club. Petzela has denied that he asked for that move at the last minute. He is certainly a good defender. He had a couple of unfortunate injuries last season where he broke his jawbone, and it seemed to affect his confidence because the same injury happened again later on in the season. And you can imagine if you did that twice, you'd be really kind of protecting your face and stuff. And I think it did dent his confidence a little bit. But, you know, obviously he's been injured the start of this season, but hopefully he can recover that confidence and get back to his very best.
Yeah, I hope so. I'd like him to stay if he doesn't come to us. I mean, I think, like I say, we'll probably move on to other targets now. But no, fair play. And what about Patrick Cottrelli? What do you think of him? Obviously, he is a boy of Milan fan. He came through our youth academy, went to Wolves. He's ended up with you on a is that a loan with option as well, I think?
I think so, yeah. But I think it might be an obligation rather than an option.
Mm-hmm. Has he been decent so far?
A bit hit and miss, really. I think he needs a bit of a run in the side. I think he needs to get his confidence up. I think it was just such a shame that Milan got rid of him. I think, you know, he really does love Milan, and he's got that tattoo, hasn't he? And he's definitely a striker that needs that confidence, and he's not quite got that run in the team yet at Fiorentina. But when he's come on, he looks like his movement is excellent. He's always getting in the right positions to score. Maybe without Chiesa taking all the shots, maybe he can get a little bit more of a chance to score. But yeah, I'm glad they didn't loan him out. I think there were a few inquiries from other clubs, like maybe Genoa and stuff. But I'm glad they've kept him and they can give him a proper try in the side now.
Yeah, I really hope he does well for obvious reasons. I was sad when he left us. I know others weren't, but... I don't know. I feel like that might come full circle at some point. I don't know. I think he might end up back with us. So Fiorentina are this team where every single season when I'm doing Serie A predictions, trying to predict the table, I could place them anywhere between 6th and sort of 12th. You know, even lower last season, no offence. What about this season? What's the feeling this season? Obviously, kept Iacini as the head coach. Kwame, you should have, like, you know, hopefully a full season of him. What's the objective?
I think really that they need to be pushing for Europe. I think they've had a few unfortunate seasons. They had the whole turmoil of the takeover, and the previous owners were so unambitious. They had the death of Astori, which, you know, I can't emphasize enough how much of an impact that had on the entire club, and how much that affected performances sort of in the long term more than the short term. And I think this year, you know, they've really strengthened in the midfield. They've brought in Amrabat from Hellas Verona, who has been excellent from what I've seen so far. I know he was really good last season. I think they've got a strong side, and they should be looking for Europa League place this year. I can't see why they wouldn't with the squad that they've got. I'm not convinced with Yakuni that he's the man for the job, but I think fair play, the owners are sort of giving him a chance to prove himself. And that's better than the hiring and firing. I mean, Milan know that only too well, don't they? That, yeah. You know, I think sometimes you just need to stick with what you've got and hope for the best. But yeah, it should be Europa League, I would think. Certainly hope so.
That'd be good. Yeah, I'd like to see Fiorentina back in Europe. I remember, like, when Fiorentina were, for example, dominating Spurs in the Europa League and stuff like that. Those were good days.
Good fun.
Yeah. And I think the league's always better with a competitive Fiorentina. So from an outsider's perspective, what do you think of Milan, basically? How do you think we're doing?
I think that after so much turmoil, again, like Fiorentina chopping and changing, so many false dawns to think, right, this is it, this is when they're going to get back to the best. I think this season is the most solid they've looked for a long time. They've invested smartly in the transfer market, which obviously in the past there've been a lot of mistakes. I think having kept Pioli, and I think Pioli is a coach who, okay, he's got a reputation of being mediocre, but I think his partnership with Zlatan, who is a proven winner, he's done things in his career that Pioli just hasn't done. And I think the combination of him and Pioli's kind of strong mindset and his ability to put his arm around the players and get the best out of them is really, really promising now. And I think it looks like the pieces are coming together, and I'm quite optimistic for them getting a Champions League place.
Oh, that'd do me. It feels like a long, long time since we've heard music.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. I mean, obviously, you know Pioli too well from his time at Fiorentina, and he often actually references the death of Astori as well, and said that it's made him grow as a man, really, you know, in other situations where perhaps he might have crumbled under pressure at Milan, he didn't, because he's already been through worse in his eyes. We've said so many times, lads, that having Zlatan as well and having the bond between those two, it's kind of like having two head coaches, you know. So you've always got the leadership out there on the field, and you've got the leadership on the training ground and stuff. And we're fairly optimistic.
It's interesting how well the two of them get on, because you look at Zlatan, who is one more in his career than Pioli has. So you think coming in there with that attitude, that stature, that he almost will kind of shrug off Pioli like Ronaldo did with Sarri. But like Chloe said, they get along great, and it's only improved the team. And that was my biggest concern with Zlatan coming in, was, you know, how's he going to mesh with this coach when he's used to all these other people who have done so much more. But it really seems like they get it together. The mentality's there, and, you know, they just want to win, and that's what they're doing. So I'm all about it. Love it.
Yeah, Zlatan was a guy who said he didn't know who Ralf Rangnick was when he was about to become our new manager. So I think the thing that he has going with Pioli is pretty good. Final question, then I'll let you go. As someone else who's from the north of England and ended up getting a passion in Italian football, how did you end up supporting Fiorentina?
Okay, it's a bit of a long story, but my great-granddad was a footballer who played for Manchester City, and that was in the 1930s. He only made two senior appearances in the what was the English Football League. But after they won the FA Cup in 1934, they went on a post-season tour abroad, that was arranged by Thomas Cook, because Thomas Cook were their sponsors even back then. And they played a special friendly game against Fiorentina, who were quite a new team at the time. because a few of the players were away on international duty, he actually played in that match and he scored at the Frankie. So, you know, it was always watched Football Italia growing up, and kind of knew we had a bit of a family link to Fiorentina, but didn't know why. And my dad did some more research, found out all that stuff. We went to Florence to see where a member of our family had played. And we just ended up making loads of friends. Everybody was really curious about why we were there. And they just sort of embraced us and adopted us. And yeah, it just kind of snowballed, really. It's just brilliant.
That's really cool. I actually did a tour of Italy as well and obviously wanted to be in Milan. And I was, loved it. But then when I got to Florence, it's just a whole nother level. It's probably my favorite city on earth. Not a Fiorentina fan, but... So the city's fantastic. I'll go back anytime.
Yeah.
I've yet to be to Italy, but I will go to Florence when I go.
Yeah, you definitely should.
I really want to go to the Frankie before it gets replaced ultimately, because I think that's the route that a lot of clubs are going down. Obviously, like Atalanta are in the process of completely overhauling their ground. Roma are getting a new stadium. The two Milan clubs are looking to build a new stadium. So I think that those images, like you say, from Football Italia and stuff like that, they're going to be a thing of the past soon. So I really want to get to Florence and to the Franchi before it goes. But yeah, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Hopefully come back on before we play each other this season. That'd be good for a little preview anytime. Or something like that. But yeah, thank you very much and best of luck for the season.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Speak soon.
Take care.
Bye.
So yeah, structure of this episode is slightly different, but I guess the formula remains the same because we've now got two games to recap and two wins to recap, which is the same as it's been for the last 2 weeks.
I think I guaranteed first, that too.
You did. You keep
that. That entire game, the Europa League game, I was like, AJ's eating his words.
AJ's
eating his words.
Even when we went 1-0 up, it felt like it was a weird night. It just felt like there was something dodgy in the water, basically.
It felt like it was a struggle.
It really did. It really did. I understand the travel, a one-off knockout game against a team when it's one of the biggest games in their history. Players out, of course, as well. But God, we made it hard for ourselves. And honestly, 120th minute, I really thought we were beaten. And I really thought that we were not well beaten, but I couldn't have argued against them winning that game because they were effective. They took their chances. They defended well against us. They didn't really give us much. But you know that bit of luck that we've been missing in recent seasons where normally we'd have lost that game 2-1? My God, did it come? I mean, that was bad from that centre-back to just dangle his arm like that.
It almost looked intentional. Like, I don't want to say
it was off, but it was crazy. I was like, just like, in the back of my head, I was just like, what? Are you crazy? Dude, keep like your hands at your side.
It really reminded me of
in the air like this and then just goes, I'm like, what are you doing, bro? It was so
behind
weird.
Him as well, like behind him.
Yeah, thinking,
what is he trying to do? Who's he pushing off? It really reminded me of the Conte one, you know, when the ball went over to the far post and for no reason he just put his arm out. I was like, you're doing that deliberately, you know. But honestly, like, that was, you know, it really is crazy being a football fan, I suppose. And we've had our fair share of crazy times, but that is one of the most mental. I mean,
how many times during that game had you just like accepted defeat? Because I did it around like the 60th minute. I did it around like the second after extra time started because they scored 13 seconds into that. And I did it about 7 seconds prior to extra time ending because we were still down. And then I did it again like 6 times during the penalty shootout because there was 24 of them. Like,
I'd written it off at one point. I think when they equalized in normal time, I was scared that we just looked knackered at that point. You know, we looked like we were just happy with the 1-0 win, which I would have been happy with the 1-0 win.
Yeah.
But when they scored, I thought they're going to sense the weakness here. They're going to try for the fact that they have more advantage in terms of rest. They've got more match fitness, and they were going to go on and score a winner. It didn't happen. Then they scored so early in extra time, and I thought same as you. I thought we don't have the legs in us to fight back from this. We're just going to lose this game 2-1, and it really did look that way. And then we get the penalty. Must say Hakan, who's played. You know, we'd played how many, 4 games? I mean, he must have played like over 300 of the 360 minutes so far this season. Up until that point, dusted himself down and converted the penalty beautifully. and then he did basically the same in the shootout. But yeah, as you said, the shootout, 24 penalties. I can't remember a shootout like that at all.
I can. It was us against United in the ICC. I was there live and just shitting myself the whole time. Gattuso and Mourinho were like, should we take some too? Because it was just never ending. It was ridiculous.
I just wanted that game to end. I was like, just end it. Like,
too. Because I was supposed to be somewhere 45 minutes prior to that. Like, it just went on too long.
Yeah.
And then the whole time I'm late and I'm like, great. People are going to ask why I'm late. And then I got to say, it's because we just lost a fucking Rio Avenue. Like, cool. We lost Rio to a street.
Rio Avenue. What is
this? I think that's what it means. Rio Avenue is River.
I was wondering. I was about to ask if it's Rio Ave or Rio Avenue.
I mean, there's Rio no difference.
Rio Ave, I think. But yeah, no,
it's Rio Avenue. It's really it. It's like River Street is like the translation or something like that.
During that PK shootout, I was just like, Donnarumma, just save one. Please save one. And then he got his hand on one and it spun back into the goal. And I was like, that's it. Just end it. You know?
Yep, that was me. Can we go home? That's our fucking walk. Here we go. Like,
and then he saved the next one, but.
They had three penalties to win it. They had three chances to step up, just score a penalty, having scored all of them previously apart from the odd one, and they couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. The one, for me, that proves now in hindsight that it was our night all along was the one that hit the inside of the post and then hit the inside of the other post.
Holy and bounced away.
I've never seen any... That's how close we were to not getting 15 million quid, to getting mocked by the rest of the fans in the league.
The fact Gigio celebrated that, like, he just had his firstborn child. Like, it was ridiculous. He didn't even get a touch.
He hadn't touched the ball until that point in the entire shootout. He hadn't got close. I must say...
No, he didn't even get a touch on that.
I must say, Rio... Yeah, exactly. Rio had some really good penalties, to be fair. Like, and then it got to the two goalkeepers. And both of them just went for the goal kick, it seems. They were happy to lace it over the bar. But
It's not like I anticipated either of them to really... put one through. Didn't expect them to just sky it like that. Like, I thought they'd maybe do a light tap, you know, just to be safe. But that penalty spot was just getting destroyed all night because it was pouring rain from like the 70th minute on, and that spot itself was just getting chipped and chipped. So it was like a huge divot of just mud at that
the ball
point.
Was like wobbling about in the spot. It was so
people couldn't even get it set in there. It was nuts, and I'm surprised none of those penalties had to be retaken because of the new rule about them jumping off the line.
I don't know.
To say, I guess it's just leaving. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, to put it in perspective, and this is a story that you definitely don't care about, but the only more dramatic penalty shootout that I've seen than that was when it was in the third division. Huddersfield played Sheffield United, who were obviously now in the Premier League and did quite well last season, in the playoff final for promotion up to the second division. And it was 6-6 after 10 penalties each, and then the goalkeepers stepped up. This was at Wembley in front of a sold-out Wembley. The goalkeepers stepped up. Ours scored with an absolute rocket into the top corner that their keeper got a hand to, but he couldn't stop it going in. And then their keeper stepped up and did exactly what Gigio did and just slotted it over the bar. So we won, I think, 7-6 after 22 penalties, and that was the one that... It gave me shades of that, you know, because... That game for us was his 15 million euro save. That's what I put in one of the headlines.
Yeah,
that I did
absolutely.
Afterwards. That's what it's worth. Maddie's gone. I don't know where he's gone. He's back.
There's someone at the door.
No problem. Was it the penalty that the Rio Ave goalkeeper took? Ball hit your door. So the draw's been done. We'll do the draw before we get to the Spezia game. We got Celtic. Lille, and we got Sparta Prague.
There you go.
What are your first? I thought, because I put Slavia in the first thing, but they were also in it, but we didn't get them. We got Sparta Prague. Or Sparta Praha, for those who are Czech. What do you think were your first reactions?
Not bad.
We're not going to get out of the group.
Oh, I don't think it'll be too difficult, to be honest. I mean, Lille's a decent team, but they're not great, you know. Like, I think the fact that they have a recognizable name is enough to motivate our players to not give a Rio Ave performance.
A lot of people have been saying about Lille, they're going to be the dark horse of the group and they've got a good chance of finishing top because they're second in Ligue 1, but Ligue 1's crap at the moment. Like, they've won 3 out of 5 games and they're second, so I think everyone's just struggling. But there's no
also, I mean, PSG's in like fifth or something.
We have, who do we play in the second round of qualifying?
Who did we
play? Photo
yeah, didn't they? They gave us a run for our money. Then Rio Ave gave us a run for our money. In Europa League, we have not looked that great. So yeah, if we continue playing like we've been playing in Europa League, we're not going to get out of the group stages. We've won every league game and not conceded a goal, but we've also been playing shit teams.
Yeah, we haven't played a decent team yet.
I think the difference with the Europa League game so far is they're more important, bigger games for those little clubs. You know, like Ollie mentioned earlier, they're the biggest games in their club's history, and it's a one-off knockout. Like, anything could happen in a one-off. In this, we have six group stage games. You're playing each team twice. It's middle of regular season. Lille's a real club, so they're going to be doing the same thing we are. They're going to, you know, push for the league and then do their thing in the group or whatever. And I think it's not going to be such a high intensity, at least in the group stage. I think once we get to the knockouts, do we know if they're single leg in the knockouts as well, or are they?
No, we have two games.
Two legs in the knockouts, yeah.
So I think it's going to be back to normal, more straightforward, and I think we're going to see stronger performances from the stronger teams. And the little clubs just kind of unfortunately know that, like, their chances are significantly slimmer now.
That's who is a little club in our group?
I don't know.
No,
all of them? I can't name any?
They're all competitive teams.
I've seen a lot of people joking about Celtic, and I think we need to take them seriously because, yes, the Scottish League isn't the best in quality. For example, if you took a mid-table SPL team and a mid-table Serie A team, then you would see the gulf in quality. That doesn't mean that Celtic aren't serious. Lazio had an amazing season last season. Celtic did the double over them in the Europa League group stages. They beat them in the last minute at the Olympico, and people were shocked.
But we have Zlatan.
They have Immobile, you know. He was better last season. I don't know. I think that we might get beat in the two away games. I think we'll get beat at Celtic and I think we'll get beat at Lille. And then it's like, can we get enough points in the rest of the games? Can we win the other four? Obviously, it's probably too early to make any of these calls given that anything can happen in the 2 weeks and beyond up until these games. But I think we need to take these teams seriously. But you can see it as a blessing as well in that the teams that were seeded, you know, the likes of Spurs, Arsenal, and the other teams you consider top teams in Europe, we got the worst of the teams from the first pot, in my opinion, in Celtic. So that was good. But then we also probably got the best from the second, maybe, in Lille. So it is what it is.
That we're way overconfident. We have a striker in Zlatan who's 39 who's going to be recovering from coronavirus. And we have no backup striker who has proven to be banging in the goals like he has. Liao looks tired as hell, although he did just score a brace this past weekend. Rebic has looked out of shape. So, I mean...
literally out of shape. His elbow wasn't in the right place.
Right.
Nice.
I'm just not confident that we will be getting out of the group stage.
I mean, two teams get through the group stage. Like, it's not going to be Prague. We know that. They're probably finishing bottom. So it's can Lille beat Celtic or can Celtic beat Lille? But I know we could beat both of them.
I think it's fairly straightforward in the Europa League. Probably the same for the Champions League. If you win your three home games, you're in pretty much because you've got 9 points on the board. And we're probably going to win both games. Oh, I don't want to jinx it, but we'd probably win both games against Sparta.
We're on a 19-game unbeaten run. It's okay to be confident.
But obviously, as Milan fans, we know the risk. But we'll see. I don't think it's a terrible draw. I quite like it. I'm going to try and get up to Celtic for the game, given that it's not a flight away. I can get a train up to Glasgow. But they've just gone into another lockdown, so apparently the game itself is at risk now because they might not allow us to travel for it.
Yeah,
I'm surprised England's not in a lockdown either. Your guys' cases have been off.
Didn't
Boris just shut up the water in London, like East London or something, for breaking curfew?
Manchester is in a local lockdown. Leeds are basically in one. There's a lot of areas where I am that are Newcastle and stuff like that. They seem to have kind of targeted the north of England.
But how do you shut down water? Like, I mean, I know USA's got some weird issues going on too, but like, I just feel like you can't take the people's water. That's not a punishment. Like, that's, I don't know, it's so weird to me.
Very
third. That's some shit that we would do.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's some shit North Korea would do, you know?
Because
like,
it's spreading in the water, mate. Yeah, so...
Who's I'll spitting see in the water? That's like a health violation. They need to go to the water cleaning facilities, whatever the hell they're called.
Mm, we haven't got those yet. We're still Imperial. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to get to that game. But if I can, then I'll definitely announce it on here next week. And then what have we got? Spezia at home. That was on Sunday night. At 0-0 at half-time. Don't know about you. I was thinking, this is it. This is the game where in this run of six, our fitness looks to have caught up to us. We don't have Rebic. Colombo's not playing well. Leao's not playing well. Brahim Diaz is the only one who looks any good. At half-time, I thought we're going to drop points here. And then the second half, we just went up a gear and managed to get it done. One of those where it wasn't particularly glamorous, but the scoreline suggests that it was.
Yeah, I didn't think actually it was that bad. I mean, you're right, it wasn't glamorous, but I never felt like we were dropping points in that, to be honest with you. I just assumed because we had six starters out that – is everyone here? Ollie's frozen. Can you hear me, Matty?
Yeah, he is, but
– All right, well, I'll keep talking. We had six starters missing, so I thought that was going to give us trouble, but we looked better than anticipated for not having half of our squad in. And then once we started bringing on some starters, Hakan, not Liao really, but, you know, when he came in, things turned around and it got better. And, you know, I thought Tonali looked decent. I didn't think Krunic was that bad. I thought we looked overall pretty decent with the exception of Colombo. He just kind of looked poor. And it is what it is. I mean, he's young. He's not even 20 years old yet. I think he's 18. Like, you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be that great.
Have you guys think that we have looked great in any game that we have played this season?
Are you talking specifically regular season?
No,
or
just regular and Europa League qualifying. I think that we have gotten lucky by scoring the goals that
I thought we looked good against Bologna. I thought we were good value for that 2-0 win, but of course that was one with Ypres starting and he got the goal with a lovely header as well, and that set us in good stead. But no, the others, no, absolutely not. And,
you didn't think we were good against Crotone?
Not really, no, because, I mean, it took us a penalty that obviously was a bit debatable for us to break the deadlock. I think we could have won by more in every single game. You know, we probably could have won by more against Shamrock. I think Rio Ave is the one where, obviously, we were tested the most, and that was just kind of a freak game.
I'm so supremely confident. This is now a team learning to win without Zlatan. And they're learning successfully. They're doing it. And we're still getting multiple goal victories, you know. We're scraping by in some of these performances, sure, but this is the team who in the last 7 years would have dropped all these points against these small clubs. We would have struggled if we were missing one player. We're missing six starters, and we're still getting multiple goal clean sheets. I mean, yeah, it might not be the prettiest, but it absolutely isn't the ugliest we've seen. Not in a long time. And I think just having Zlatan even – waiting in the tunnel, you know, hypothetically, obviously he's not really there,
but he's waiting on a horse right now.
I don't know what the hell that's about. I mean, the dude tested positive yesterday. He's fucking riding a
horse.
Must
be an old picture. He looks really young in the picture.
Oh, I don't know, but anyway. Whatever, it riled me up. I was like, dude, I'm
lying on a horse, fucking joke. I can't be dealing with
that. I hate all those Latin jokes. Can I just come out and say that? Like, he's my all-time favorite player, but I hate that shit. It's so stupid and annoying.
It is.
Anyways, I think just having Zlatan there, they know what they're fighting for. You know, if Zlatan comes back and he's like, oh, you guys dropped 9 fucking points, everyone's going to be a little worried. You know, no one wants to deal with that shit. So they're doing what they can. We see the swagger in everyone. Kessié's talking about he's the president now, like, you never would have heard that, you know. 8 months ago, Kessié is not the fucking president, but apparently he is now. It's weird, but they're all happy, so let him be, you know. I think as soon as we get Zlatan back, boom, game over. We're going on another tear.
I have liked the way that Tonali has looked, though. He's, with every game, he's getting more and more confident on the ball.
Yeah, he like started off a little now, weak, but he's killing it now.
I like the fact that now he's getting the ball and driving forward. And, yeah. Go, man. I like the fact that now
at
he's
least
getting
the waving
ball.
Came in handy then.
Yeah. It's an episode of waves at the moment. I like the fact that now he's getting the ball and playing a bit more vertically. He's passing it forward, or he's running with it and trying to bring the fullbacks into play, which is something that was missing at first. He looked like he only wanted to pass backwards to the centre-backs. So, happy to see that. Plus, Brahim Diaz had a really, really good game against Spezia. You know, he was picking up the ball in the hole, turning and getting fouled every single time. And some of them were really cynical fouls. Like, Calabria keeps having good games. Teo was arguably man of the match against Spezia, scored a goal that was almost identical to one that he scored last season, where he nicked it at the halfway line and went running to the edge of the box and scored. Again, looked good. Benacer looked good when he come on fresh. Kier and Gabia haven't conceded a single league goal yet, you know, with them two as the pairing. We'll come on to the derby and whether them two should start in
next week. No, but we've conceded goals in against some trash, not trash, cause, but Europa League opponents.
Say it, you're right. They are trash teams. Give me I mean, league clean sheets are far more important, but Maddie's still got a point. Like, we are conceding against some pretty shitty clubs. So, I don't know. Mm. Give and take. But in the league,
I'm not drinking the juice yet. I'm just saying drinking the winning juice, because I think that this club might be close to crashing again.
We'll see.
I don't think we're going to be invincible, but like, I don't think we're crashing anytime soon.
I'll tell you what, we're no Everton Football Club right now. I'll say that now.
We absolutely are. We're better than Everton. Head-to-head, their streak's over.
Well, this is the thing, right? So it's funny that we've both won all of our games up until this point, and then we've both got the derby coming up next. It's make or break for both teams, funnily enough. Like, there is a parallel between the two teams. The difference is that we're going to beat Inter, and Everton are going to be the second club in Liverpool again very soon.
Oh, okay. You said both teams as in us and Everton. Okay. I thought you meant us and Inter. I was like, have they won all their games? Like,
no, they drew with Lazio. So
that's what I thought, yeah.
I think based on the performances that both clubs have played, Everton has a better chance of beating Liverpool than
Milan. Liverpool also look a bit crap. I mean, losing
to I'll take it, man. I'll beat any Liverpool team that we can.
Go for it. I'm rooting for you, but I don't think to say that you guys have a better shot against Liverpool than we have against Inter, like, just the caliber of clubs that we're talking about, Liverpool is a million times better than Inter right now, even in their shitty form. So I don't know if that's true. Like,
I don't know about a million times better, but we haven't. This Milan team has not clicked yet. They're not clicking on the field. They have not clicked since the season started. We've just been connecting a few passes and putting the ball into the net. Like, we haven't been connecting.
We haven't
from
had the
defense.
Same starting lineup in any game, though. I mean, everyone's been switched around.
No, we've been affected by injuries and a heavy schedule.
And so you think we're going to beat Inter?
Yes. I don't think you could have like a full
I was
click
saying
as you're
it
saying when it's just rotating nonstop. I don't know. But I think we have that click in the defense, and I don't think Romagnoli should start the derby if he's back. I just think we have a duo. Okay, well, I'm just saying, like, we have a duo that's rock solid at the moment. Why bring in a guy who hasn't played since July? Like, yeah, he's
I'm
our
not
best
saying
defender,
bring
but
in Romagnoli.
He chokes in big
I'm
games
just saying,
sometimes, most of the time, and he's hurt. Like,
I'm just saying that this team is not clicking. We'll talk about the derby next week.
I don't think it is. End of last season, we were playing some amazing free-flowing football. Right. We were putting five past teams. We haven't got there yet, but, you know, you've got to start from somewhere. I'd rather we start crap and winning games than start crap and not winning games. I'd also rather we win games regardless of how we play, because we've been done so many times in the last few seasons by slow starts. This time, we're getting the start that we wanted. We'll see. The derby's a different
I think
game.
We've only shithoused one win against fucking Rio Avenue, but the rest, like, we've played well. You know, it hasn't been...
Playing well and clicking is two different things.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, we're not in this dire situation.
We also we haven't had to go into third or fourth gear yet. We've been able to beat these teams by just kind of doing enough.
Rio Ave, we weren't in fifth gear at that point, struggling to put a goal past them?
No,
if we weren't in fifth gear in overtime, then this team needs a new mentality.
I think they were just tired, to be honest with you. That was like a game every 2-3 days. Like,
I don't mean fifth gear in terms of effort. I mean in terms of fifth gear as in, like, we're playing our best possible football. you know, we're cutting teams apart. I think we were probably there in terms of desperately trying to get a goal, but not like, you know, like when we beat Juve and when we beat Lazio last season and when we thumped Bologna at home and you know, we went away and won 4-1 and all that. That was, for me, us being in our top gear and we were beating top teams in the league, and that was the difference. Anyway, moving on. So the end of the market. We didn't sign a centre-back. We did sign Diogo Dalot from Manchester United. Diogo. Thoughts on that one? Diogo.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't know. Like, I've heard mixed things from United people about him. Like, that he just wasn't good enough, that he was good enough, that he was just average. Like, it doesn't seem like anyone's on the same page about him. So, I don't feel comfortable making an educated guess, because it wouldn't be educated. You know, it'd just be like, yeah, it's a name. I knew who he was prior to us being linked, so that's a bonus, I guess. But I don't know.
Yeah, Bobby's, I know nothing great, about the guy.
If he comes in and performs, then hell yeah, let's go. But if not, it's not the end of the world. It's a dry loan, and, you know, I know we're going to negotiate a permanent deal during the season, but if he doesn't do good, then why? You know,
yeah,
bullet dodge, yeah. Let him go back.
Yeah, I think it would be a case of him having to do well. United paid $22 million to sign him from Porto after like 8 games. He was a Mourinho signing. I think Mourinho obviously had his eye on him. Yeah. Played at right back and left back, so that's good. He can cover two positions. He's quite good as an inverted fullback, because he's right footed, but he can play on the left. So that's okay. And then the fact it's a dry loan, for me, you know, it's low risk. We needed the cover with Lax outgoing, so it makes sense from that point of view. He's 21. So there's upside there, and I think, who knows, like, if you look at, for example, Ashley Young, Kolarov, there are other examples of fullbacks or defenders like Smalling who have come over from the Premier League and all of a sudden look like absolute world beaters in Italy, whether that's to do with the adjustment of style or whatever. I'm optimistic Dalot could be good. I'm very optimistic, but looking at the market as a whole, what would you give the rating? Obviously, to name the five new faces that arrived, we had Brahim Diaz on loan, Sandro Tonali, Tata Rosanu, who's the new backup goalkeeper, Jens-Petter Hauge, and Dalot. And then, obviously, we signed Rebic on a permanent basis, and we got a renewal for Ibrahimovic. And then the sales, Suso went because Sevilla got into the Champions League. Paqueta went to Lyon, which we haven't talked about, but I think that was an absolute masterpiece, really, to be totally honest with you. Mm-hmm. To get $20 million guaranteed for a player who was so far out of our plans. I wish him the best, I really do, because it sounds like he struggled off the field while he was here as well, and that can affect your performances, but it just wasn't clicking here. You know, it was time for him to go.
Not that came out of nowhere, but it moved so fast. You know, it was always like Maldini's working on Paqueta's departure, but it was never like, Lyon's showing interest. They're talking this price. We're thinking this. It was just like, we're working on it. We're working on it. We're working on it. Lyon announces Paqueta. It's like, whoa, okay. So,
well, I don't know, that caught me off guard. Lyon were linked for a while, and then it was always that they had to sell Hussein Ouah or Memphis Depay.
Yeah. And neither left. Their president said, like, we bought Paqueta to show that we don't need to make departures or something like that. And I thought that was cool. You know, good for them.
Yeah, I hope he does okay there. Not too well, but, you know. Obviously, he's linked up with Juninho, who is a fellow Brazilian. So, he's got a better chance of succeeding there, in my opinion, as well. So, he went. Reina went to Lazio. Ricardo Rodriguez to Torino. I've kind of run out of who else left.
Laxo went to Celtic.
Well, Andre Silva went on a permanent.
Yeah.
Plitzari and Pobega left on loan. Yeah, Laxo, as you say. And then there was obviously Bonaventura and Belia who left on threes. Market overall, what are you giving it as a score out of 10?
I'm going to say a 7. You know, I'm really happy with it, given the really small budget we had to bring in the names that we did, to get the renewals that we did, and to get rid of the players that we needed to get rid of. Yes, there are still holes. We could use another center back. We could absolutely use a starting right wing. But overall, mind you, this was a very compressed short window as well after a very strange season. So all clubs are a little tentative to do a lot of things. That's a lot of moving parts. I mean, 5 new players is huge. Like, we're not Chelsea. We can't spend a quarter of a billion pounds in one window on three players. But we spent 23 million and got five great players plus a bunch of renewals. And I believe we came out positive on the books, right?
Oh, after departures. 35 yeah, like, million.
That's fantastic. When the whole club structure the last decade's been like, we don't have any money, we're poor, we're broke, like we owe money, we're in debt. And now it's like, yo, we improved the team substantially, in my opinion, and we got money for doing it. Like, come on, how could you be upset? The only thing that would make it a 10 for me is if we got a definitive right wing, which we didn't, and it is what it is. But the next window is less than 60 days away already. You know, it's right around the
That's
corner.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, less than 60? No, it's...
No, it's 3 months, but still.
Yeah, it's less than 90 days.
Okay, well, still, you know, that's pretty damn soon.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like 15 games, which is kind of weird to think about, but, you know, normally above 20.
I'm going to give it an 8 because with the budget that Maldini was working with, he signed five great players and we got rid of dead weight. So I have no complaints. Center back would have been nice. Right wing would have been nice. But again, given the fact that he had next to no money to work with, we did great. So
yeah, it's not like we didn't try for that center back on deadline day either. You know, I mean, we sent a private jet to go sign a player on deadline day. But ultimately, you can't convince a club to get rid of one of their best players with an hour left in the market.
So I did a piece. It's currently it'll be under features, whatever. Like three positives and three negatives from the market. But I tried to kind of balance it out in my own head. I've come to the conclusion that the incoming market was probably a 7. You know, we've added to our young core so well there with getting Tonali, Hauguru, I think. People are forgetting, you know, how good he is for a 5 million euro signing. That is like signing a good winger, in my opinion. We'll see how he gets on, obviously. Renewal of Ibra was huge. The permanent signing of Rebic has removed a headache that might have come around next summer. And then, obviously, Brahim Diaz. Again, the Dalot thing and Brahim Diaz both have the potential to become really useful players for us, but we need to see if they become permanent. We don't control them at the moment. So I'd give the incoming market a 7.
I think the fact that we were able to make Rebic permanent halfway through his loan deal because it was a 2-year loan shows teams like Real Madrid and Manchester United that we're serious about making these loans permanent. And that's why we could do these dry loans and get away with it, you know? So
everyone's saying it. The papers, all the papers, Sky is saying that we're going to talk to them about permanent, which I think is very good. It's just, if it's a dry loan, it gets the deal over the line quicker.
Yeah. It just shows good faith on our part that we're going to follow through on our word with that, which is massive.
And also, if they're crap, you know, if Brahim Diaz gets injured or he turns out rubbish, same with Dalot, we don't have to discuss a permanent deal.
Right.
You know, the ball is in our court in that sense. And then the down marks for the incoming market were, for me, we went into the summer with two positions that needed addressing. Right wing, where Salamakers and Castillejo, especially Castillejo, just don't offer the assurances that an elite right winger would, or even a good right winger like a Berardi or someone proven in Serie A. We didn't address that. We didn't make any movements on that front. And then right back as well. Calabria's had a really good start to the season, so I might eat my words on that. But I still think that he probably doesn't offer the same guarantees that Aurier, who started the season really well, actually, and say Dumfries might have, or Emerson Royale. So we didn't fix what appeared to be a glaring hole. We also didn't get a centre-back, despite all of the efforts on deadline day. We kind of looked a bit foolish because we were chasing around all these targets and offering way below the asking price. I don't think that's a good look, to be honest. But we didn't. And apparently the money was there. Elliot said, here's the money if you want to use it. But Maldini said, no, wait till January and get a guy that we actually want rather than overpay for somebody that we didn't really want. And I think that's a smart strategy.
Yeah.
Where the market for me becomes an 8.5 out of 10 is because we did a 10 out of 10 job on sales. There's nobody that you look at in our squad anymore that doesn't have a role to play. He's going to probably be back up right back. Yeah, okay, maybe that would have actually made it a 10 out of 10 is if Conte had left. But still, it wasn't going to happen while he was injured. You know,
that's for personal reasons, though, that you probably want him to leave. Nah.
He's shite, to be honest. But let's be honest, he's crap. Who knows? He might end up playing a role as a backup right back in the Europa League. That's fine. That's probably around about where he's at. But getting 20 mil for Paqueta, getting 24 mil for Suso, let's not forget that, whose cycle at the club had pretty much ended. Then also getting rid of Laxalt's salary for a season, which is higher than you think. Getting rid of Pepe Reina by actually getting a fee for him. That's incredible. And then Ricardo Rodriguez might have just got a little bit more money for him. But again, he was a player who didn't want to be here, was kind of a dead asset. We did a really good job on the outgoing market. 35 million in the plus for a market that, in my opinion, has substantially improved our team. So much dead weight gone and filled with exciting young talent. And I think we've done a good job. You know, they say as well, the best moves are sometimes the moves that you don't make. Or rather, making no moves at all is better than making the wrong move. And I think that's the case on deadline day. We all really wanted a centre-back to come. We all maybe wanted a surprise winger signing. It didn't happen. But I'd rather that we keep the balance and keep adding the right pieces rather than going all out for, say, Rudiger and it being an absolute disaster because he ruins the dressing room, let's say. So, is what it is. Happy with the market overall. I'm conscious of time, so we'll just end with a couple of questions. Samuel Tejada asks about the Hakan situation. So Sky is saying that his renewal is not as straightforward as it seems. There's a big distance between what we're willing to offer and what he wants. His contract expires next June. Juve and Atletico Madrid want him. Lads, do you pay him what he wants?
Yes. He's the most important player, hands down.
Yeah. So let's say that apparently our plan is to give him 3 million net per year. I think if he wants 5, you probably settle around 4. And given that Gigio's going to go up to 8, Zlatan's on 7, I think 4's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, even the money that we save by not overpaying for a centre-back, just put that towards those renewals of Gigio and Hakan and move on. We've got to keep this core intact. Now we've got a good core and we chose to go for evolution, not revolution. At least make sure that you keep the things to evolve, if you know what I mean.
That's so, the pod title. I like that. Evolution, not revolution.
I was going to go with Portuguese pantomime or something like that because of Dalot, because of Leao, and because whatever. We'll come on.
And the Rio Ave. I think you're absolutely right, though. Everyone's always worried about contracts. You know, it was like the rumored salary cap thing like that. If we are now good players, it's not just like people who might be good. We are good. And you play good players accordingly, or you pay them accordingly. We're going to have these higher wages now. And that's not a bad thing like everyone thinks it is. It just means we have strong players that are deserving of high salaries. It's not Bilia on $3.5 million a season. It's Hakan, who's got 19 goals and assists in like 17 games. So give him his money, you know?
Easy. Yeah, I agree. We can't afford to let a player like that go. And also the money that you spend on a transfer fee plus wages to replace his kind of production, it far outweighs the costs of giving him an extra mil a year. Right, final one, Karun Samuels. We'll do this as a quick fire. Best signing of the window and why?
Zlatan's renewal, because without him, we're back to where we were.
Mm-hmm. Tonali, because without a strong midfield, you can't have a complete team.
I could have said either of those two. I'm going to go with Zlatan's renewal because I think that it gives us another year of basically being guaranteed competitors. But Tonali is also a good shout because without
Bakayoko, I think he's going to be the flop of the season personally, but that's me.
Honestly, who knows? After Corona, he might come back winded as fuck and not have a full 60 in him, you know? I mean, we saw how Leao looked after returning, so.
I don't know. Yeah,
Leao's like 21.
Trump's exactly, looking pretty good, man. And if a 70-year-old bloke can get over it, then I think Zlatan will.
I don't think
Trump is on so many steroids videos, right now.
I don't know. Do you see him gasping for whatever? We
sarcasm. Puffing and puffing up those stairs.
Yeah. Was not.
I wasn't being serious about Trump looking good, by the way. But, he is the GOAT. Who will be our surprise?
God.
That's also a joke, by the way. Who will be our surprise of the season? I guess any of the squad members. Anyone who's going to break up.
It's going to be a surprise that Zlatan flops. That's what it is.
I'm going to go with Brahim Diaz. You know, I put him as like my top assist person for the league. And I think he's shown that he's fantastic. He just needs to learn to pass that ball a little bit more. You know, he's trying to take on defenders instead of just handing it off. Once he learns to do that, we're going to start putting in goals.
Wait till he plays with Ibra. Then Ibra will put him in shape.
Yeah, he'll start passing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. For me, random call, but Rade Krunic has stayed and he's now going to get a lot of games. And I think he looked pretty good in the game against Spezia. So I think he's going to do better than people think. I'm not saying he's going to get 10 goals, 10 assists, but I think he's going to be pretty good. I think it'll be.
Well, you're wrong.
We'll see, won't we? That's it. Conscious of time. But thank you very much for listening, everybody. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher, joined by Anthony Torgrove.
Yep, had a good one, a lot of fun. Twitter 45 on Twitter.
Yeah, we had two guests, Chloe and Oliver's dad. That was my dad.
The big fish.
Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Edward_Doth.
Yeah, thank you very much for catching. We'll catch you in a week's time. Lost it.
Andrea Conti, bella palla per Rebic. Rebic Ibra. Rebic. Il tiro. Goal!